Hello, hello, and welcome back to ABA Mom, where we explore practical applications of applied behavior analysis in everyday life. I'm your host, Allie, a board-certified behavior analyst, and today we are diving into a topic that is crucial for most families, and that is using reinforcement effectively to encourage positive behavior in our kids. So whether you are a parent, a caregiver of some kind, or you are in the ABA field, these real life examples, you can implement them right away. So what exactly is reinforcement? In the world of ABA, reinforcement is any consequence that increases the likelihood of a behavior being repeated. Basically, it's about finding out what motivates your child and using it to encourage a good behavior. So anything can be reinforced. It could be good behaviors. It could be bad behaviors. We want to try to reinforce behaviors that we want to see more of. When we provide reinforcement, it's more likely that that behavior will occur in the future. Now, with that being said, there is something that is misconstrued all the time about reinforcement, and that is the difference between positive reinforcement and negative reinforcement. Positive reinforcement is something added that is more likely to increase a behavior. Negative reinforcement is something taken away that is more likely to increase a behavior. So either way, the behavior is being increased. What happens a lot of times is that negative reinforcement is confused with negative punishment. Punishment decreases behavior. But today we're talking about all the things that we can use to increase behavior and applying it to real life. So I'm going to share some of those real life scenarios based on my own parenting and what I have experienced and seen from other parents, so you can use reinforcement in your daily routines as well. So let's start with homework time. So homework time, that is not a fun time usually in my house. But there are some tips to make it a little easier, especially if you have a child that struggles. So imagine you have a child who struggles staying focused on their homework instead of just telling them, hey, you know, try harder. Or if you get frustrated and you yell or you walk away, give up, right? So there's some other strategies, and I feel you because it can be frustrating. So you can use reinforcement to motivate them. So here's how it goes. You can do this. You can set a timer and explain to your child. We talked about that last time, using those antecedent manipulations. And you set a timer, explain to them that they, after they complete their homework, the time frame, then they get a fun activity. So maybe 20 minutes of homework time, 30 minutes of screen time, or a trip to the park. Now, with that being said, a timer is not going to work for all kids. For homework. Well, it may add some extra stressors if it's a child that you know does not perform well at school, or they struggle in certain areas, and they honestly just have a difficult time, and 20 minutes is just going to add extra pressure on them. There is a difference between having the skill and having a performance deficit. So you can either have a skill deficit or performance deficit, which means that if you have a skill deficit, that you do not have the skill to do the homework, or maybe you need some extra help to do that. Now, a performance deficit is based on motivation. So if your child just doesn't want to do it because they don't like homework, that is where I would generally use that timer. Now, if it's a skill deficit, you can definitely still use some motivation to help them along. However, I would be using reinforcers and sitting next to them while they do their homework and assist them along. But if it is a performance deficit, meaning that they don't want to do the homework assignment because they don't like it, then using a timer could be successful. Again, none of these are one size fits all. These are just some tips to help you along the way. But either way, when the homework is completed, whether or not you use the timer, whether or not the skill deficit or performance deficit, I would 100% give them some kind of reinforcer. They completed a task they didn't want to complete, that it was either because it was too difficult or because they just do not like it. What you're doing here is providing a clear, achievable goal with a tangible reward. So a reward can be something physical that you're giving them, tangible. So it could be an edible item. So maybe like a special snack, TV time. It can be an activity. So like going to the park, that would be an activity that they can earn that's attainable. This not only helps them stay focused, but also helps them build positive associations with homework. So now you're making homework a little bit more fun. It's like, so now I do homework and now I get to eat the ice cream that I love. So I have to finish my homework to get to the ice cream. So you're making something attainable for them. Also, so you're providing that reinforcement and a tangible for them. And eventually, we talked a little bit about fading out. You could fade out those things, but right now you want to work on motivating them to complete that homework assignment. Sometimes providing that reinforcement in between is important. So maybe you have some small edibles like Skittles or Goldfish. You know your kids best, so you know what it is that they really like. So maybe they do two problems of homework. They're struggling, having a really hard time, or they write three sentences and then they can earn something or take a break and come back. So let's switch to another common scenario. So another one is mealtime. So if you have a picky eater, I know many of us do, you might find it challenging sometimes at mealtime. So one strategy that you can use is to reinforce during meals. You could say if you try one bite of your broccoli per se, you can have a small piece of dessert afterwards. Here, the reinforcer is dessert, which can motivate your child to try new foods. The key is to keep reinforcement manageable and positive. So, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a dessert if you're trying out some new foods. I really don't like to push this one too hard because the bottom line is, are your kids eating? Sometimes I think there's bigger behaviors depending on the needs of your child. But this is just an example of something you can do. I have a lot of parents that say, you know, my kids really don't eat anything but chicken nuggets, and they have a very poor diet. So this is something that you can definitely use. I also, just to introduce different foods, I provide reinforcement, even if they just smell or taste or put it close to them to just try out the new food, or especially if it's sensory for them. So I would provide, you know, small reinforcers for that. It doesn't necessarily have to be broccoli and it doesn't necessarily have to be dessert. So maybe they eat chicken nuggets all the time, but you would like to introduce them to a chicken leg, right? So maybe you take, you know, smell the chicken leg, take a lick, you know, maybe they take a bite, go ahead and provide a reinforcer. Again, that could be a small edible. It could be a dessert. It could be then you get a bite of your chicken nugget, which is your favorite thing, or just trying a bite and then you get chicken nuggets. So trying out new foods, trying out new things. It can be other things too. I've used tangible reinforcers for even bike riding. You can use it, especially if you're trying to teach a new skill. I would provide more reinforcers in between before they complete the skill. So any small success that you see from them, go ahead and provide a small reinforcer. Let's talk about chores for a second. This is another non-preferred task. So a lot of times this is escape maintain, and we'll talk about that in another episode as well. So getting kids involved in household tasks can sometimes, you know, feel like pulling teeth. It's not fun. I have a mom that I worked with that used a sticker chart. I've used them as well. So every time the child completes a chore without being asked, they get a sticker. Currently in my house, I worked out a deal with my 16-year-old that if he does the chores, he knows to do the chores. He'll do the chores when I ask him to do it. But if he does do it without asking, he does get a payment. So he does get paid for some of those chores if he starts doing them without asking. But in this instance, we'll stick with stickers depending on the age of your child. And I also think, you know, exactly what the chores are and what how defiant and how difficult the task is for them. So for each chore, let's say they get a sticker. Once they reach 10 stickers, they can choose a family movie night. They can choose a fun outing. You want to make it very clear ahead of time what exactly it is that they're working for. So say, what is it that you want to work for this week? They earn the stickers, they earn 10 stickers, and then they get to pick what it is that they chose. So movie night, fun outing, maybe, you know, you have like a treasure box in your home and like get some toys. I've even done like dollar store toys, like in a treasure box that you can use and just pull it out when they earn them. So this not only teaches responsibility, but it also makes the process enjoyable. This visual aspects of our sticker chart can help kids see the progress and motivates them to keep going. So using a sticker chart definitely helps with that motivation. They get the stickers and then they get their tangible reward. So these are all tangibles that we're talking about here. So now let's talk about some verbal praise. So what's great about reinforcement is it doesn't always have to be tangible. So it does not always have to be an item or an activity. As a mom, I know this makes a point to give verbal praise. A mom I know makes a point to give her son verbal praise. I provide verbal praise to my clients, to my kids, to my spouse, and I definitely use tangible reinforcers on him as well. So for example, you know, I have 5 kids, so sometimes sharing is not ideal for them. So you can say things, or I say things like, I love how you shared your toy with your sister or with your brother. That was very kind of you. The more specific you are, the better. So you want to be very specific in your praise, because you could just be reinforcing anything. So if you have somebody, you know, like, let's just say they're picking their nose, for example. So if they're picking their nose, and I did hear this a long time ago from another analyst too. So they're picking their nose and wiping the table and you say, good job. Okay, so what are you reinforcing? Are you enforcing wiping the table? Are you reinforcing wiping their nose or picking their nose? Because now what might happen is, because reinforcement is providing reinforcement, it provides that likeliness that that behavior may occur in the future. So if you are just saying, good job, and they're wiping the table and picking your nose, what you may end up getting is the result of them picking their nose, right? Because now you said good job and they're just picking their nose. So they are more likely to pick their nose in the future. Maybe pick their nose and wipe their table at the same time. So it's important to be specific when you give this verbal praise. So I like to use things like, I like how you're sitting in your seat. I like how you, you know, share your toys. Anything that you want to see more of in the future, I would go ahead and give that praise. So it's very important to give that praise. This is especially true when we talk about kids that like love like that extra attention. They're getting it in negative ways. So we want to provide it in a positive way. This kind of positive reinforcement not only boosts confidence, but also encourages them to be continued to do that in the future. So continue to share in the future. So if you're providing praise like, hey, I really like how you're sharing, they're more likely to share in the future. So reinforcement is awesome in that way. Something I want to touch base on too is self-regulation and how to reinforcement can help with that. So there was a parent I talked to, implemented a system where his child could earn calm down time. If his son managed to stay calm during a frustrated situation, he can earn some extra time playing his favorite game. So, and that's a big one, to calm down. And I know calm down is not necessarily an ABA term, but it is a reality that, like, to stay calm, what we like to do in ABA is define it further, what calm actually looks like. But it's self-regulate, right? So not engaging in some of those maladaptive behaviors, whether that's a meltdown or physical aggression. So being able to self-regulate. So being able to have some of those coping skills, even though when we kind of get into coping skills, we are borderlining some mental health. So coming a little bit out of my umbrella, talking about the self-regulation and coping skills, but it is something that we still use in our field. And a matter of fact, there is a curriculum called the ACTS curriculum, which uses some of those events to be able to self-regulate and coping skills and being able to let things go. So this teaches self-regulation when you're able to say, hey, when you're calm, then you can play your game. I am very cautious about this because I want to make sure we are not reinforcing, you know, other behaviors. So if we're saying, okay, so I just had a tantrum, so now I can go play my game, right? Now I'm calm and I can go play my game. So I'm very slow to provide that reinforcement, but it does help to manage emotional regulation, right? Because it's like, okay, this is the behavior of being calm, right? So calm, which I'm defining as not engaging in maladaptive behavior. So, and now I get to play my game once I'm calm. So you are teaching that skill. I would still just be a little cautious on that, just because we don't want to reinforce all the behavior. We want to make sure we're only reinforcing calm. So that can get a little tricky. However, if let's just say a child is just doing a great job, there has not been any maladaptive behavior during the day or, you know, in the last few hours or what have you. I don't know how often, you know, they have tantrum behavior, just for example. So I would go ahead and provide that reinforcement, like, hey, you've been doing really great today. I really like how calm you are. And then provide that reinforcer. So go ahead and provide that game or reward that they like for doing a great job staying calm. So again, we just want to make sure that we define it, and we are very slow to reinforce, make sure that we are not reinforcing the wrong thing. But we do want to see more of whatever else that behavior might be, right? So instead of having a tantrum, being able to ask for things, that would be a good example. And a good replacement behavior is like, I like how you use your words. I like how you're sitting. I like how you're doing this. So you want to reinforce it with positive praise. And then also you want to reinforce it, or I would probably reinforce with a tangible too, especially if that is something that they are really struggling with. I want to remind you that using reinforcement is all about understanding your child's needs and finding out what motivates them. So it's very important to find out what motivates them. And it, you know, I say as parents, we really know our kids best, but you can also just ask, you know, be like, hey, what is it that you want to work for? What do you want to, you know, you can just kind of interview them, and then also just kind of watch them in their environment. What do they go to the most? What is the number one thing that they absolutely love? If I could give you $1 million, what would it be? What would they absolutely go for? And it's never a one size fits all approach. So what works doesn't always work, right? And it's different for each individual. One thing to keep in mind when it comes to reinforcement is what works sometimes doesn't work all the time. So let's say, for example, you have M&Ms on you. Your child absolutely loves M&Ms. It's one of their favorite things. Well, one day they do not work for the M&Ms. And you're like, what's going on? They love these M&Ms. What's happening? Well, what happens is what we like to call in the ABA world is satiated. So they're a little tired of M&Ms, right? Especially if they had a big meal, maybe they're full and they're getting tired of M&Ms. They have M&Ms all the time. You reinforce high reinforcement. It's a reinforcer all the time. So it's important to change it up and try different things. Also, you want to try different things, but you also want to know to keep in mind that having choices and having options is really important. They may want it one minute, and then another minute they might want something else. So it's good to have some choices in your back pocket. So maybe you have M&Ms and Skittles, or maybe you have something that isn't edible. For example, I had a kid the other day that was earning stickers, but actually just wanted facts about snakes. So they just earn facts. That's what they wanted to earn. So it's important to just keep in mind, like, plus what they like changes all the time. So you might just be walking around with their preferred toy. That's not necessarily a reinforcer. It's not reinforcing behavior. You're just walking around with their favorite toy. So just being mindful of that. Now, if they work for their favorite toy, then that becomes a reinforcer. Everything else is just potential reinforcers. So feel free to kind of experiment different strategies until you find the right one for your child. Consistency is key. Reinforcing behavior over time will not only help your child develop a stronger bond with you because you're providing those reinforcers, it also fosters an environment where they feel motivated to learn and grow. So I think that's really important for us to remember as parents. And it's definitely a good bonding experience as the parent because, yes, you are providing this thing that they really like, but then you get paired with that too. So like, hey, my mom always, you know, she's always telling me I'm doing a good job sharing with my sister. So now you're being paired with those words of affirmation for them or those verbal praise. So before we close, I want to share some quick tips to effectively implement reinforcement in your daily routine. So number one, you want to be very specific. So when you're reinforcing a behavior, be specific about what behavior you're praising or rewarding. So again, be specific. We don't want to say, hey, good job, even though that's really nice. And like you're saying good job and they probably reinforced but we want to make sure we're reinforcing the right thing. Whatever the behavior we want to see more of is what we want to reinforce. So instead, you want to say, great job putting your toys away without being asked. Or just great job putting your toys away. Maybe you did have to ask. This is clarity and helps your child understand exactly what that they are doing right. Tip number two, make it immediate. And this is really important. Reinforcement is most effective when given immediately after desired behavior. If you wait too long, your child may not connect that behavior is with a reward. So if they finish their homework, celebrate right then and there. So you don't want to wait. So for example, you don't want to, your child finish their homework, right? That's the example that we used. You don't want to wait until Friday, even it's Monday, to provide a reward. You want to provide a reward immediately. After they finish their homework, then what? Then do you go to the park? You don't want to be like, okay, we're going to go to the park in, 3 hours. You want to make sure that whatever it is that you're going to provide as a potential reinforcer is immediate. So set that up where you can provide it immediately. The more immediate it is, the more effective it is. The longer you wait, the less effective it is. You're not making that connection. Tip number three, keep it varied. Children can quickly get bored of the same rewards. So we talked about being satiated. Mix it up. Sometimes it might be a special treat. Other times it could be extra playtime or a small toy. Keeping the reinforcement varied keeps your child engaged and motivated. Tip number four, involve them. Let your child decide their rewards. This gives them ownership of the process and can make them more motivated to achieve behavior you're looking to reinforce. So you want to involve them in the rewards. So that's why I always say, like, hey, what is that you want to work for? What is that you want to earn? You know, if you do have a child that's not verbal or, they're not saying some of the things that they would like, just kind of observe them and what kind of things that they like. And you can even maybe lay out a couple of things, let them make a choice when it comes to it. The more involved they are, the better it is. It also gives them a little bit of control over the situation. Be patient. Behavior change takes time. None of this is instant. If you don't see immediate results, don't get discouraged. It takes time. So one thing about ABA, I know I have parents sometimes ask, like, why is it so many hours? You know, like my speech and my OT is only an hour long. It's consistency over time. It takes time it's a gradual process. There is a science to it. And consistency will pay off in the long run. So stay patient. I really hope today's episode has inspired you to think about how you can incorporate reinforcement into your parenting toolkit. Remember, every small step you take can lead to significant changes to your child's behavior and your family dynamic. If you have any success stories or challenges you'd like to share, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to me on social media or leave me a comment. And don't forget to subscribe to ABA Mom for more tips and strategies on applying ABA principles in your everyday life. If you found today's episode helpful, please share it with friends and family who might benefit as well. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, keep reinforcing those positive behaviors. This has been ABA Mom with your host, Allie, wishing you all a wonderful day filled with